Welcome to Behind the Music, brought to you by the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. We're thrilled to kick off a new season filled with a wide variety of music, from familiar favorites to pieces that might surprise you. This podcast gives you a sneak peek into each concert, featuring conversations with some of the amazing artists who bring this music to life. Whether you're a seasoned concert goer or new to classical music, we're excited to share these insights and stories with you. So let's get started. I'm pleased to introduce your host, the music director and conductor of the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra, Fuad Fakhoury.
Welcome to this episode of Behind the Music. I'm your host, Fuad Fakhoury. We are here today to talk to our guest artist, Jamie Hafner, about our opening concert of the season on October 19th at First Baptist Church. Jamie is not only the WFSO's principal harpist, but she's also professor of harp and director of graduate studies at the University of North Texas College of Music in Denton, Texas. She has performed internationally and published two books as well as other musical works. Jamie has served on the World Harp Congress, American Harp Society, USA International Harp Competition Boards, and the American Harp Journal Editorial Board. Thank you for joining us today, Jamie.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. So, Jamie, let us start with a little bit of background information about you. What initially sparked your interest in the harp, and how did you navigate your path to becoming a professional harpist?
So this is a really multi-layered question, so I'll try and make a saga into a Reader's Digest version. I was very fortunate to grow up as part of a musical family, and as I was, you know, in grade school, the question certainly was not, will you play an instrument, do you think? It was, what instruments will you choose? And so I was really fortunate to have so much support from my family. I guess I was maybe a little bit precocious as a youngster, and so I chose the largest instrument, actually piano first, and then I started harp shortly after. And what really drew me in was, quite honestly, the scores of John Williams, because I grew up watching E.T. and, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and all those incredible scores. And I would always pester my parents. Every time I heard a glissando, I noticed it was always the best parts of the movie that had the harp. And so I really wanted to learn about that. And then as I became older and, you know, continued my harp studies, I really learned about all the variety that the harp offered. You know, not only could you play amazing Baroque music on it, but you could play heavy metal in a rock band. And so it really seemed like a very limitless instrument. Just as kind of a side note, when I was younger, I was really obsessed with buttons, like the sort of buttons that you would push on a keyboard. and oddly, you know, the harp has seven pedals, and yeah. I was similarly just mechanically fascinated with how this instrument worked. So I was hooked right from the very beginning.
Wow, that's so interesting. So do you still play any piano? I mean,
only a minimal amount. I really switched over wholeheartedly to the harp when I was in college. And what's interesting is that, you know, the piano gave me the background to be able to read the double staves and more than double staves in some cases. So that was really, really crucial. But what's interesting is compared with the harp, where both of our thumbs play the upper register of each hand, on the piano, the thumbs are in the center of the register. And so I always found that when I was working on really virtuosic things on both instruments, I had to translate my right hand. So for me, it just made sense to really pick one or the other.
That's interesting. You know, that's something you never think about. I mean, I this is the first time I've given it any thought about the hand placement between the harp and the piano. So
yeah.
To, you know, something a little bit different, you have just returned from traveling abroad and had several performances in France, I believe. Can you tell us a little bit about your summer and some of the activities that you've done?
This was a summer like none other, I have to say. And you know, while being a musician is always, it's always been humbling and gratifying to me simultaneously. There were several events that just came full circle. So I'll tell you a little bit about the beginning of my summer because it relates to the end of my summer. So it kicked off actually with taking my students. We're called the UNT Harp Beats. We're the harp ensemble. And it's all the harp students at University of North Texas. We were invited to perform at the American Harp Society National Conference, which was in Orlando, Florida. And so the theme this year was that's entertainment. So we put together a program of all movie music. And so really, again, this goes back to, you know, my first love of the instrument. The students made the arrangements and they just performed really, really beautifully. And really to share that with my students was a wonderful kickoff, you know, to the summer and hopefully a kickoff to their careers as well. Then after spending some time with my family in South Dakota, where I grew up, I did go to France and spent a good deal of time both in Paris and then, interestingly, rented a car and drove up to the north side of France to the near in Normandy. The town is called Etretat, and it was a fisherman's village. But most importantly, it was the place that my last teacher, Suzanne MacDonald, where she did her lessons with Henriette Renier. And Renier was the subject, has been the subject of my lifelong research and also the subject of both books that I've published. So to take it one step further, this is where it was just kind of an amazing accumulation of great things. I was invited by the family of Henriette Renier. There are quite a few Reniers that live in and around that region. And the performance that I gave was in the summer home of Offenbach, like Dad Offenbach, which happened to be next door to the villa where Henriette spent her summers and taught all of these summer lessons. And it was, of course, a recital of Renier's music, which is some of the most, I would say, some of the most virtuosic ever written for the harp. She was truly a trendsetter, in not only in France but in the world for what the harp could do. She's one of the people that was credited with bringing the harp to the front of the orchestra to play concerti, for instance. So again, this is a beautiful tie to the concerto that's coming up, you know, to open our season.
That's great.
And yeah, so
And
it really was, it was so special on so many levels.
so you spent some time, I mean, some significant time over there, right, this summer. I mean, it
I
was
did.
yeah, that's wonderful. That's
I
great.
did. In Paris, I was able to see one of it. She owned seven harps. But the one that was really famous that she did all of her concertizing on, I was able to see in person when visiting one of my colleagues and friends, Sylvain Boissel, in Paris. And then, you know, to travel north to Etretat, which was a, you know, it was this community that was not only important for the harp and, you know, all of these lessons that took place, but other artists at the time. Monet painted, you know, and there's some beautiful scenery there with cliffs. It's almost like White Cliffs of Dover, but with really interesting shapes. And most people have seen it and just don't realize that was in Etretat. So it was really an immersive experience, and I'm so thankful to have gotten to know the Renier family a little bit, and to learn a little bit of French, and to learn, you know, a bit about the culture and what really spawned so much of really important repertoire for the harp. And incidentally, next year is Renier's 150th birthday. So
Wow.
hopefully we'll be doing it all again. It's just the kickoff for a celebration.
So it's wonderful. That's great. I have to go Google her and understand a little bit more. So what, just to sort of segue into our concert that's coming up, our season opener, as you mentioned, is on October 19th. And we will be celebrating in that concert Hispanic Heritage Month. And so when I was designing the season, I was trying to put pieces together. I put pieces together that all had that theme within them. All the pieces are composed by Latin composers. And the piece that you will be featured on is by Ginastera, his harp concerto, obviously, which is quite well known. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the piece and what unique aspects you bring to it and how you approach interpreting this quite difficult but wonderful piece?
Absolutely. Well, I have to say it truly, in my opinion, is one of our best, maybe one of our best three concerti for harp. That's my opinion, of course. But what makes it so special is that it truly challenges every single preconception that anyone has about the harp. And, you know, at the same time, it's not about just challenging those preconceptions. It really does it so well, and it shows a different sort of virtuosity on our instrument from what you would normally hear. So, you know, most people see the shape of the harp and you know, the way that we've been pictured in you know, paintings and art throughout the ages has always been very angelic. And, you know, this concerto uses the harp as a drum. It uses the harp like a guitar. It uses the harp, I don't know that you would say a trombone, but it has some effects that sound like trombone slides. It's probably closest to that. And it's absolutely robust and energetic, even in the moments that are very sweet and tender. And it's also a very physical piece. So it's interesting. You asked how I approach it. And, you know, I truly have to approach it like I'm preparing for a marathon, in a way, and to make sure that you can make it all the way through the piece using both arms and, you know, both feet the whole time. Of course, the overview of the piece, it's in three movements, like a standard concerto would be. And really, that format is pretty standard, you know, allegro, moderato, cadenza, followed by vivace movement. But within each of those, there's all these elements that are borrowed from really Argentine nationalism, a celebration of that culture. And I have to say I've dug a little bit further into this in recent years, and I'm endlessly fascinated by the way he incorporated this. So just for example, there's a lot of trading between 6/8 meters and 3/4 meters. And while there's a very steady eighth note pulse, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, you know, it opens up the concerto.
Yeah.
And that directly comes from the dance influence from, you know, section of Argentina. There's also the short nail strums that come from the guitar, of course. Maybe my favorite effect is actually the high-pitched squeaks. We call it a whistling effect on the harp.
Yeah.
Where you take your hand from, you know, the bottom and move it up the wire strings. It's not quite like nails on a chalkboard. It's much prettier than that, but it's unexpected that way. And then most clearly he uses a something that's called a guitar chord, but it's symbolic. And it's, you know, largely open fourths. That's a little bit altered to make it work really well on the harp. But it spans all three movements. There's all these different iterations of this quote guitar open fourth sort of sound. And some people have called it there's also a gaucho motive, but it's all very energetic and dance like. And you know, in my approach of it, it's really to look to other instruments for inspiration and other styles, because it's so far beyond what the harp normally creates in its sound. As you can tell, I really love the piece.
No. As you were talking, I mean, one thing that we're doing on this concert is, I'm doing two pieces by Gina Stella. The one is the harp concerto, but we're also doing four dances from Estancia. And the
Yes.
similarities, especially as you were talking about the 6-8-3-4, that feeling, he is really, I mean, when you delve into his work, he is a very, I mean, for lack of a better word, he is a true Argentinian composer, right? I mean, he
Yes.
incorporates his heritage into his pieces, which is terrific. And I'm glad I'm doing those two pieces together on the same concert, because I think the audience will get a sense of his style more than just performing either the harp concerto alone or the dances from Estancia alone. So I'm really looking forward to making that connection for our audiences.
Absolutely. And he really seemed to love strings so much, like in all, when we say strings, we tend to think bowed, right? But he so well incorporated bowed strings with plucked strings. And, even as in his other works, the famous variations that, have just beautiful motives between the bass and the harp and the celli and the harp. It just doesn't get more rich or lush than that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, it's great, great, great composer. So moving on to the repertoire that you perform, right? It spans centuries, from classical masterpieces to contemporary compositions. This is a two-part question. Do you have a favorite time period, and how do you navigate the differences interpreting newer, more modern works versus older classics? And in conjunction with
That's
that
interesting.
question, in conjunction with that question, so the harp is such a rich instrument with roots going back, obviously, millennia. What is it about the harp that you enjoy most? I mean, is it the versatility of the instrument, the sound, the rich colors? Probably all of them, but just sort of explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this is really one of the things that makes the harp so unique. I suppose there's unique things about every single instrument, right? But the harp is both similarly like so ancient and so modern. And that really is something that you can't say about many instruments, right? It came out of history, they think, from the bow and arrow. And so it was right there, right alongside the drum and human voice. We were one of the first three, creators of musical sound. But yeah, of course, you zoom forward to modern day and you can play heavy metal on the harp. It sounds like a heavy metal guitar. And so I have fallen in love with that variety. But yes, of course, it can make it challenging because you have to be adept at all these different eras. And to add to that complexity, not everybody wrote for the harp all the time, even though it existed. It really went in and out of favor. And, many would say that it really reached its height in the Romantic era. But we always seem to be one period behind, so the 20th century composers, many of them wrote in a Romantic style. I would say now what's being written is really being written in a 20th century style in a way. So, how do you navigate that? I really work on immersing myself in, whatever time period is coming up next for me. So, in other words, having just presented this whole Renier program, of course, I was listening and working on her music all the time. Now working on this, it's important to not only have harp sounds, from this concerto in my ear, but other Argentine influences and dance rhythms and, Latin America and South America and all of that bigger influence. I think it's really important to immerse in that in order to better understand the music. You had also asked the second part of the question, I guess, did you ask what I enjoy the most about it, I think?
Yeah, I mean, the harp is such a rich instrument, right? So you have it's such a versatile, and you talked about it, and our audience will hear it when they attend the concert, with the versatility of the instrument. You know, the the percussive sounds that you can make by tapping on the harp, the rich colors of the instrument, the types of sounds that. So, I mean, I know this is a general question. You're probably going to enjoy all of it, but is there anything that's so specific that you really tend to really sort of enjoy and feel very passionate about with regards to the harp and the sounds that you can make on it?
So this is really specific and might mean the most to harpists that are listening, but I really, really love the lower range of the harp that's right above the wire strings and at the very bottom of the gut string. So for those who are familiar, we have two or three different types of strings on the harp, depending on the harpist. But wire strings, you can pretty easily see. They are copper wire wrapped with silk and then wrapped with more copper wire. So they look like strings that are on, you know, other string instruments. The rest of the harp is made out of natural gut, which does come from cows. It's true. There are vegan strings for those who are out there, but it's natural in every sense, right? It's you're using your fingertips to play. It's a natural, you know, environmental sort of fiber that we're playing. And it's those strings that I'm describing are, you know, at the very bottom of the bass clef staff for us. And they're thick and they're just kind of juicy, which is kind of, it's weird to describe that, but that's actually the range of the harp that always sings. So, you know, even if you play one of the very upper strings, you can go down to the bottom part of the harp and muffle there, and you realize it's not one string that's ringing, it's all the rest of them. So that's really hyper-specific, but this concerto uses it a lot.
Absolutely, and you hear that sound. And I mean, once you hear it, you really recognize it, that rich sort of, it fills the room, that sound that just really is completely full and round. I mean, it's hard to describe sound, but that's how I think about it.
It is. And even if you play those same notes on a piano or any, you know, I think probably cello has the closest sort of resonance in that register. But what's different on the harp is that you're producing it directly with your finger and there's nothing in between it. I'll never tire of it.
Well, listen, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and especially when we discuss music and the harp. It's just you know, your passion and your sort of enthusiasm for the instrument and the music of the instrument is apparent and comes through, and it's always a joy talking to you, Jamie. So it's a
Thank
pleasure
you.
And I'm very, very much looking forward to our performance together.
Me too. Thank you so much for programming this amazing concerto.
Absolutely, absolutely. Join us for the season opener at First Baptist Church on October 19th for our Fiesta Sinfonica that will feature Jamie Haefner performing Gina Stera's harp concerto, as well as newer works, timeless favorites like Ravel's Bolero and Alborada del Grazioso, Piazzolla's Adios Nonino, and finally Gina Stera's four dances from his ballet Estancia. Tickets for this concert are available now by visiting our website and by calling the WFSO office. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you can get new episodes as soon as they are released.
Thank you, Maestro, and a big thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and feel a little more connected to the music and the musicians who bring it to life. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest from the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. On behalf of everyone at the WFSO, I'm Tim Williamson. Until next time, we hope you find joy and inspiration in the power of music. See you soon at the Symphony.